We own this country.
We own it. And it's not you owning it and not politicians owning it. Politicians are employees of ours. And they're just going to come around and beg for votes every few years, and it's the same old deal. But I just think that it's important that you realize that whether you're Democrat or whether you're a Republican or whether you're Libertarian or whatever, when somebody does not do the job, we've got to let them go.
When your entire culture is under attack, you need the country's number one voice in defense of our American way of life. You need an ally in the fight against tyranny and corruption. You need your weekly dose of Lisa Payne Nager. Missouri Grassroots Radio Network proudly adds our own beauty to America the Beautiful, your own culture vigilante, Ms. Lisa Payne Nager.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, well, for the last several weeks, we've been running shows that have to do with the atrocities that are going on in the legal system as they relate to family court issues. And a couple of weeks ago, when the Justina Pelletier case was huge in the media, at least in the Patriot media, in the conservative media, and all of the atrocities about this poor little girl and her family and what they've been put through was just really big. One of the things that we said right as it was coming to an end, or seemingly coming to an end, or they were gaining progress on getting the ability to bring Justina home, you know, that the state had confiscated her from her parents and was holding her hostage, basically, and not allowing the parents to visit this sick little girl. One of the things that we said was they made those moves so that her case would get out of the public eye and people would think that everything was okay and the media would stop covering it. And now, a few weeks later, Cindy McGee, what did we say a couple of weeks ago? What's happening now with this case? Amazing, amazing situation. Just egregious going on. This is Lisa Payne Nager. You're listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm here with Cindy McGee tonight. She's been watching this case very closely. This is the kind of thing that's near and dear to both of our hearts. We've both had experiences like this in family courts. So it resonates with us. We've known these things are going on, have been going on for decades. And now, you know, it's just now that the public is starting to see a little bit of what's been hidden for so long. Cindy, what's been going on with this case?
Well, we had hope, a little hope, glimmers of hope, that things were starting to move in the right direction. I will give Justina's father kudos and credit. He wasn't as quick to trust the promises and the seeming moves in the right direction where his daughter was concerned. But the bottom line is that there was another hearing this week. Wait, we need to backtrack a little bit.
Yeah, let's give a little history.
About a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, how far back do you want to go, Lisa?
Well, give a real short,
on the case.
Broad history. Yeah.
Basically, a year and a half ago, on February 13th, the Pelletier family took their daughter to the hospital. She had the flu. She was also struggling with a disease called mitochondrial disease. And she had been diagnosed with that and was being treated by doctors at Parks Medical Center. And they took her to a hospital in Massachusetts. They were in Massachusetts. Doctors told her to take her to the emergency room there. Long story short, a psychiatrist saw her in the ER and decided that she did not have mitochondrial disease, but she was suffering from somatoform, which is just a nice way of saying she was suffering from medical abuse by her family. And so they had talked to the family and said, we don't think she has mitochondrial disease. Why don't we try another tack of treatment? Well, the family didn't at first understand the direction they were going. And they were ready to do anything to help their daughter feel better and to do better. But when they realized that they were going to take her off of the medical treatment that Tufts had prescribed and was following for her, they said, oh, no, we're not going to go along with that. Well, when they refused to go along with them removing her from the treatment that had already been established, the Boston Children's Hospital called in DCF. They took her away from her family, and she's been held prisoner by DCF and Boston Children's Hospital ever since. That's the long and the short of it. This family has been fighting for over a year to get their daughter back. They have done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've been accused of abusing their child. And somatoform is just another word, the new word for Munchausen's syndrome.
Right.
And
I think we need
their kids sick.
Yeah, and you need to note, I think also, her health has declined seriously since she was beginning in the custody of the state.
Absolutely. 6 weeks before she went into the hospital, Boston Children's Hospital, she was competing in ice skating competitions. Yes, she has a disease. Yes, it's very hard on her and everything, but she's been doing well with her treatment. But when they get sick with this disorder, that it has to be treated and they have to be taken care of right away because they have complications that can set in and so forth. And now this child has since she entered Boston Children's Hospital, she's now wheelchair-bound, and it came out this week her mother was there to visit her. They're allowed 1 hour a week to visit her under strict supervision. There are several DCF agents and usually an armed state police officer in the room when they're there. They're not allowed to talk to her about her treatment or anything else. And her mother noticed she raised her arms and exposed her belly. Now, because of the mitochondrial disease she has, Justina has had to have a shunt put in to her bowels so that they can evacuate her bowels, because one of the effects of mitochondrial disease is that the bowel system shuts down and doesn't work properly and poisons the body. And she noticed when Justina raised her arms that the area around that shunt was all inflamed and red. This last week, last Friday, her mother, they were able to sneak a camera into the room because they're not allowed to take cell phones or anything else into the room. They snuck a cell phone in, and they actually were able to get a picture and smuggle that phone back out of the room showing what was happening. And there was no doubt when the doctors looked at that that sepsis had set into that area. About a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, the judge ordered that she be transferred back to Tufts Medical Center. DCF has not made that happen. It has now come out. Something that we didn't know in the past is that this same judge ruled months ago that they wanted DCF to prepare and to get ready to send Justina back and give her back to her parents. DCF refused to do that. The judge saw them back in court. DCF said, we don't have to do what you say, and the judge did not try to enforce his order. Instead, he just continued the case.
So basically what he's doing is giving them license to just let this girl die. He's just waiting for her to die.
He's not doing what he should do as a judge to protect this child. And, you know, Lisa, I want to throw something else out there for anybody who may not understand. The Pelletiers have several other children. Justina's older sister was diagnosed with the same medical disorder that Justina has about a year or two before Justina was. Now, okay, two children with mitochondrial disease. One DCF is saying that their parents are not doing right by her and that she has somatoform disease. They're going along with this diagnosis at Boston General's Hospital, and they're keeping her from her family, and they're keeping her from proper medical treatment in addition to that. They haven't removed the sister that's being treated by Tufts for the same disorder. And understand, Tufts is a highly acclaimed medical center. These are medical doctors. This is not some fly-by-night whatever. You know, this is a serious disorder.
Right. What does the government have to gain by keeping this girl, this very sick little girl, under their custody?
Well, DCF, anytime you have a child in your custody, and especially one with disabilities, you get more money. Children in the DCF system mean more money coming into DCF from the federal government. There's honestly, folks, you really need to get a grip on this. We all want to help children who are being abused. I certainly would and do. But the bottom line is that too often DCF is an organization that, once again, follows the money. Just follow the money.
Yep.
That's where the motivation is. And, you know, the pathetic part about this is DCF has operated. This is not an isolated case where DCF defies court orders. Many times children are removed from their parents' care, and they never even have the opportunity to see the inside of a courtroom. DCF operates above and outside the law. They operate above and outside the Constitution. They have for a very long time. And this case is bringing to light some of those abuses. And this is not an isolated incident. It's happening all around the country. In Justina's particular case, I think the other motivation was Boston Children's Hospital, who has a very extensive psychiatric study in somatoform disorder. And Justina is not the only child that has been diagnosed with that, with something else, and removed from her family's care and turned over to DCF. And if Boston Children's Hospital admits a child and can get DCF to take the child away, Boston Children's Hospital, in their admission forms, there's a clause in there that these children then can be used in medical experimental programs at Boston Children's Hospital.
So
there's their motivation.
You can't buy makeup that's been tested on humans, but you can put kids under state arrest, take them away from their
right.
families, and perform medical tests on them.
Turn them into guinea pigs.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And deny them proper medical treatment. Justina is in serious medical trouble. Monday, there was another hearing. The judge once again kicked the can down the road, did not make a decision about what to do with her custody, as far as custody goes, whether he's going to leave her with Massachusetts DCF, transfer her to Connecticut DCF, where the family lives, or give her back to her parents, which is really what needs to happen. These people have done nothing wrong and have been denied access to their daughter. And Justina, on Monday evening after the hearing, was taken to the emergency room at the hospital where she is and was treated. The parents were not notified, and then she was not at the hospital. She was returned to this foster care facility that she's in right now. And the parents were never notified. They weren't told the circumstances of why she was taken in, what was found, what is going on. And when they go to see her this Friday, they're not going to be allowed to even ask her about it.
You know, I don't know what kind of world we're living in, folks. You know, there's no media. I mean, the left media is not even covering this. I wouldn't think that this would be a partisan issue. But you're not seeing this on the left media. You're not seeing this on ABC, CBS, or NBC.
No. The only other media that has covered it that I would consider from that genre would be Dr. Phil had the family on last week and apparently did a very good job of covering what's happening and has gotten involved also. So, you know, that's another, you know, step in the right direction. One thing that I would encourage people to do right now is to literally melt the phones of the Massachusetts DCF, telling them to free Justina Pelletier and give her back to her family.
Or the
and
judge.
That number is 617-748-2000. 617-748-2000. And just respectfully say, this is ridiculous what you've done to this family and this child. You need to return her to her parents. You need to stop fighting this family and the court system in Massachusetts and do the right thing.
Do we know who the judge is in this case?
You know, I do.
Because if DFS
Joseph Johnston, juvenile court judge Joseph Johnston.
There we go. Because if DFS is literally untouchable and the judge will disregard the Constitution of the United States and Massachusetts to allow the state to basically kidnap this child, calling DFS is going to have minimal effect. What you need to do is call the judge and write letters about the judge and maybe to the governor. Because, as we've said before here on Culture Vigilante, it's not the legislative and the executive branches that are driving the country into the lake. It is the very cloaked and unmonitored judiciary who meets with absolutely no consequence when they stray from their fiduciary responsibilities of upholding the constitutions and the laws of their states. You never hear about impeachment. Impeachment is a dirty word state legislators will not impeach. We don't federal legislators will not impeach. It's just, you know, it's all about maintaining the power base.
Uh-huh.
And what really needs to happen before this girl dies is, you know, that judge needs to be impeached.
He does. And DCF needs to be held accountable. There needs to be a thorough investigation into the operations of DCF in Massachusetts, I would contend across the country. But at least in Massachusetts, to find out why they are operating in such a way and why they're doing these things, and to get rid of all, to purge that agency of people who would do this. And the judge does need to be held to account. He has failed as a judge to do his part. He's allowed a child to be held prisoner, her family to be deprived of being involved in her, in medical decisions concerning her. They've now been deprived of open visits with her. They've had gag orders put against them. They have been denied. They have a new attorney, Matt Staver, from a conservative constitutional organization who has stepped up since this story has made national news through conservative media to take on their case and to try to help them. And the court, the judge and the court, and consequently the court in Massachusetts, has refused to make a determination allowing him to be their attorney. Talk about a violation of constitutional rights and an abridgment against their right to be represented. If that's not it, I don't know what is.
Do we know, I mean, do we know who the legislators are that are, you know, that the Pelletiers are represented by in that state?
There is a group of about 12 legislators, and I'm sorry I don't have any of their names right now. I've been following this, but I don't have those notes in front of me. But there are a group of legislators in Massachusetts who have been fighting to get something done, to have a resolution passed, to try to force DCF to give Justina back to her parents. But, you know, they're kind of fighting an uphill battle in Massachusetts because, hello, it's Massachusetts, a very liberal state,
right,
and where you're going to see more, not less, of this type of atrocity occurring. And so I don't know where that is in the Massachusetts legislature. I know that the family was there about 3 weeks ago testifying in hearings, and everything seemed to be moving in a positive direction, Lisa, but nothing seems to be moving DCF in Massachusetts to do the right thing, nor Boston Children's Hospital to say, look, this child needs to be put back under the care of her tough physicians, nor of a judge who is failing to do the job that he's sitting on that bench to do.
You know, okay, so here's the deal. I mean, this is egregious, and obviously some people have stepped up. They have a lawyer who stepped up to help them. You know, the conservative media is doing everything that they can to get this story out there, and maybe it's also leaking into the mainstream media. We don't know for sure, but here's the deal. When you have legislators, I mean, that's the only place that you can really go, is go to your legislators, and when you have an issue like this, I mean, how hard can they be fighting if they're not trying to bring this guy up on impeachment? Because he's obviously, I mean, the reality is we have a girl who is dying. She is dying, you know, and the likelihood, if they turned it around tomorrow, the likelihood of her surviving this is not very good because of the trauma that she's been through since she's been in the state's care.
Right. Well, and it's starting to come out, too, that Justina has been posting and sending out messages when she can, asking her family. I think she has a Facebook page or something. Does anybody believe me? This child is not only being physically...
God only knows what they're telling her.
But she is being emotionally and psychologically abused as well. There is just no doubt about that. I will stand by that. I just stand by that. You cannot do this to a child, a 14-year-old, and not have just terrible consequences that she's going to live with the rest of her life. Hopefully it's going to be a long life. But whatever the outcome is, she's going to have to live with that for the rest of her life, what has been done to her. And when you disrupt that unity between a parent and child, and you disrupt that sanctuary and haven of safety for a child by doing what they've done with no justification, no abuse has occurred. DCF in Massachusetts, this family should own that organization, and it should be completely dismantled and put out of business before it's
absolutely. Well, you
and
know,
that judge needs to be impeached. He should not ever preside
absolutely
over another
career,
hearing in regard. Absolutely, he should lose his license. He should be disbarred. He and the people involved at DCF that have been involved with this case should go to prison. And I would also say that there are probably doctors at Massachusetts Children's Hospital that need to be there, or Boston Children's Hospital that need to be there with them as well.
Yeah, I would say so. Amazing.
No, well, I'm not gonna. You know, the first priority is to get this child out of that situation. But my biggest, the next fear I have over not getting her out of there is that people will forget, and we will not continue to press to see the right thing done to hold DCF, that Boston Children's Hospital, and this judge accountable for their actions in this case.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
we,
make an
you know,
example of them. Give every other DCF agency across the country and every other judge and every other hospital
absolutely.
That wants to use something like this to experiment on people, let's give them all some food for thought before they do it again.
Yep,
make
absolutely.
Examples of every one of them.
Tar and feather them. So that nobody will ever do this again across the country. But
absolutely.
It's going to take public outrage. And when you cannot get the media to cover it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just absolutely absurd.
And, you know, Lisa, we've been in a fight to restore our republic for 5 years now.
Right.
Actively participating in multiple ways, trying to hold legislators accountable, you know, working with the public, you know, in a multitude of ways. You and I have both done what we can to make a difference. And so many other patriots out there are doing the same thing. And I just want everybody to realize that that what you're looking at with the Justina Pelletier case is a fundamental breakdown in how our society is functioning and how it is interacting with government agencies that have unlimited powers by people who aren't even elected by the public to completely destroy our lives.
Yep.
And
yep.
we need to understand that if we're not willing to stand up and fight for Justina Pelletier and her family, then where are we really sincere about protecting liberty, the Constitution, and the individual liberties and rights of the American people? I would say no.
You know, that's an excellent question, and that kind of leads me into the next thing that I want to talk about tonight, and it's localized. Here in Missouri, even in my county, okay, there was a story. I live in the St. Louis area. There was a story published in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today, or not too long ago. I'm not quite sure exactly when it ran, recently, about an alderman in one of the
March
local
municipalities.
March 18th, yesterday. An alderman in one of the local municipalities in my county was arrested for possession of marijuana. Now, we have had and we will continue to have the discussion on whether or not to legalize marijuana. This is not the night to discuss that issue. This is something else. This alderman was arrested when the police were called to his home on another issue. They found marijuana paraphernalia. And maybe some marijuana, too. I'm not sure. Arrested.
I think they found marijuana also.
Arrested him. Convicted him. He's guilty. But some background on this. The county that I live in is traditionally one of the reddest counties in the state of Missouri. It's considered one of the reddest counties in Republican counties in Missouri. The judge that heard this case is also a Republican, because I sat in PACADAR meetings with this judge while he shamelessly campaigned for re-election just not too long ago, you know, and went to the Republican folks in my county to for support, and he was overwhelmingly re-elected. The alderman is a Democrat. We have a municipality here in this county that is just overshadowed with what a lot of people think is just deep, debasing corruption. And this person is an alderman in that municipality. So this alderman was convicted by this judge. You know, and in Missouri, it's illegal to possess marijuana. It's illegal to possess paraphernalia. And this judge gave him a complete pass. They convicted him, gave him a year's probation. I think he has to do public service or something for a year.
20 hours of public service and pay
20. 20 hours. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, and
okay.
He gets to continue to serve as an alderman.
Yeah, he's not going to lose his position. 20 hours of public service over the course of a year, which, you know, I don't know what qualifies for public service. I'm sure it's pretty, you know, he'll probably stand at the polls and campaign for, you know, other Democratic aldermen. I don't know. That could be public service in the eyes of these people. And then after he completes his public service, his record is completely expunged. Now, you explain to me how, I mean, this is not about whether or not marijuana should be legal in Missouri.
Uh-uh.
This is about a judge, a Republican judge in a Republican county, legislating from the bench with complete disregard to standing statutes in this state and in complete disregard of the people who supported him, because most of the Republicans in St. Charles County are not for legalization of marijuana, although there are a few.
Uh-huh.
How you explain to me, Judge Dan Pelican, and anyone else, how do you do that? How do you legislate from the bench and expect to maintain your Republican standing in a conservative county? And how does that affect the culture at large when someone who is clearly convicted of a crime, breaking the law, receives absolutely no consequence? No consequence. A slap on the wrist. And has no record to show for it when it's over. Nothing. I mean, I am fit to be tied, folks.
Well, and Lisa, you know, I think it's also shameful that a politician, someone that people in the community should be looking up to, children should see, you know, let's just play this for a minute. That this is someone, you know, there was a time in our country where our statesmen, politicians, we don't have statesmen anymore, we have politicians, therein lies the difference. But
right.
The point that I'm making is that our children were, you know, they're setting an example that our children are looking at, that others in our community are looking at. And this man, and again, you're right, this isn't about whether or not marijuana should be legalized. Again, the point is that we have laws in Missouri right now that prohibits having marijuana paraphernalia or to be in possession of marijuana. And this man was found in possession of both. There were two counts against him that he was going to be convicted of. He pled guilty and without admitting that he was guilty.
Right.
And the judge just dismissed everything, basically suspended his sentence, and each count could have resulted in up to 1 year in prison and a $1,000 fine on each count. And he got 20 hours of community service and a court cost. And at the end of a year of probation, he walks away, and this doesn't end up.
Yeah, it all goes away. Nobody ever knows.
And in the meantime, while he's serving as, you know, while he's doing his public service and so forth and so on, he's going to continue to serve as alderman unless the people in that particular
yeah. So how do you commit? Is it a felony? I don't
ward.
Think it's a felony. It's not a felony, right? Because
No, it's a misdemeanor.
It's a misdemeanor. But I mean, how does an elected official, a person who serves the people, commit those? I mean, you know, I'm so stupid. Of course they do. All over. Every level of government, they do.
Right.
But I mean,
well,
seriously.
And, you know, right. If this was some poor 17-year-old kid, would he get his EV pass on this?
They would have, throw the book at him, and he'd be sitting in jail for a year.
You know, I mean, seriously, and I'm not advocating free passes for anybody, but really, Judge, you're going to Pelican, you're really going to just let this man walk, who is a community leader,
right,
and has broken the law of Missouri, which he should be sworn to uphold.
Right. There's statutes
and
you have
just
to follow.
Let him walk away. Yeah.
It's not that hard. You've
just
got a guidebook.
Let him walk away. Free stuff.
It's the Missouri
right.
statutes. Yeah. All you have to do is read them.
Right.
There they are. Anybody
so
can
the,
read
the
them.
The laws in Missouri only mean something for some people, but not for others.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
That's what kind of message is that sending our children and the people who live in our communities? What kind of a message is that sending the criminal element, for that matter?
Exactly. And for all those folks who are out there rolling their eyes at this conversation because he was, you know, they think that marijuana should be legalized. I don't happen to agree that marijuana should be legalized, but there's a process if you disagree with the law to get it done. And while the law is in place, you uphold the law. And when you're a judge, you uphold the law. You know, and it's easy. I mean, you have a guidebook. It's in the Missouri statutes. You know, I'm sure something came up on the bar exam. You know, it's not that hard. I don't, you know, and the idea, I mean, and this guy will get reelected again. He'll run for another term, probably because most of the people won't know what he's done or they'll just forgive because he can come to lunch with you and campaign and schmooze and smile and just forget, you know, everybody will forget about it and they'll vote him on the bench again. Oh, I just,
right.
you know, if we don't,
you know,
got,
Lisa,
you got, freedom is a
let's
little bloody.
Right. Let's put the marijuana argument aside. There are politicians on all levels of government that get free passes like this all of the time and break the law of the land.
Uh-huh.
And there are no consequences for them. The system is corrupt. I mean, we all know that. So whether it's marijuana, drunk driving and killing somebody and walking away from the scene of the accident, gee, when did that happen?
Right.
And leaving somebody to die there. I mean, but no consequences, and that person goes on to serve in the United States Senate for how many years? You know, and those are just two examples of two extremes of the spectrum of lawbreaking in a sense. But the bottom line is the law is the law. You uphold it. Judges are sworn to uphold it. And, you know,
if you don't like it, you change it. Yeah. We have a system for changing it.
And if you don't like the law, change it. Do what it takes to change it.
Yep. Let's take a quick break.
Make drunk driving and killing people while you're drunk driving legal. Make marijuana legal. Let's go for it.
Well, you know, and that's another thing that kind of came up in the conversation today because I was kind of blogging or, you know, kind of posting about it on my Facebook page today. You know, become such a culture, and it's so sad to hear this, but we've become such a culture that we have accepted being mind-altered by either drugs or alcohol that drunk drivers get off the hook all the time. You know, how many people have drunk drivers killed in this country?
Okay.
First offense, I think don't quote me on this, but first offense, I think you get a $500 fine. You know, that's just a hefty bar tab to a drunk.
Right.
You know, $500
fine?
Nothing.
Okay, I know we're not going down this road, but I'm going down it for just a second. I just want to make a point because you're right there, and it's so precious. The thing about it is that everybody says, you know, legalize marijuana and all of these abuses against people that war on drugs and these abuses that are used by law enforcement to use marijuana as a way to get in won't be doing that anymore. Excuse me? Look at what's happening at the alcohol checkpoints around this country where people are being forced to give up their DNA, blah, 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 just to prove that they are not driving drunk. You think legalizing marijuana is going to change something? Really? Really?
Oh, no.
We haven't been able to handle the legalization of alcohol.
Yep.
And,
you know,
and by the way, just to be clear, I do enjoy my glass of wine occasionally, so
yeah.
I am not a teetotaler when I say that. But I'm just trying to make the point that what's wrong in our society is not going to be cured by making what is illegal legal. You are going down the wrong road if that's your motivation in changing a law. I don't care what law it is. If your motivation is to stop government abuse by legalizing something, you're really messed up in your thinking.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's my 2 cents worth on that.
And it's
sorry,
good.
I took us down a road we weren't going to go down.
No, that's okay. I mean, we will go down that road. I mean, there's plenty of information on that, and we probably just need to dedicate a few shows just completely to that, and we probably will. But right now, let's take a quick break. We have some other things to discuss this evening, and we will be right back.
Okay.
And the government of the people.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
You better not shout, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
We're back. This is Lisa Payne Nager, and you're listening to Culture Vigilante, and I am so proud to be sitting here tonight with Cindy McGee of Show Me Patriots, discussing the current events of the day. And while we were before the break, we were talking about, you know, the legal system and judges, and we were talking about a specific judge here in Missouri who was doing some things that I didn't necessarily agree with. Let's go stay in Missouri for a few minutes, and we'll move on to some national stuff. But a couple weeks ago, I didn't attend, but I've written in the past, my congressman is Congressman Blaine Lukemeyer. He's a Republican. As I told you before, I live in a very red state in a red county. And my Republican has been known to have jumped the conservative ship and crawled into bed with John Boehner and Mitch McConnell and all the sleazy establishment folks in Washington, D.C. Not only has he crawled into bed with them, he has absolutely picked up the establishment flag and is waving it and beating the Tea Party over the head with it. A couple of weeks ago, we had our Lincoln Days dinner here in the county that I live in. And like I said, I did not attend. But once again, Congressman Blaine Lukemeyer was said to have made no haste in his address to the folks attending, those nice conservative folks, those conservative Republicans, attending the Lincoln Days dinner in my county and just eviscerating the Tea Party. Just chastising anybody who absolutely
is he didn't call it the Tea Party, but yeah, he knew who he was talking about.
And he's done that in the past. I mean, we've had shows about that. We had Dr. Randy Tobler on. He is a conservative talk show host on 97.1 here in St. Louis area. And he first came out on his show right before the holidays and just totally blasting. And he named the Tea Party then. You know, maybe he's pulling back a little bit. But, you know, folks, I'm telling you, I am not voting for that man. Ever again. I don't care who gets into office, but it's not going to be Blaine Lukemeyer as far as I'm concerned. I'm not giving my vote to a person like that.
Yeah. Blaine, I think that, you know, he absolutely came down on people. He said there's a group of people within the Republican Party now who are openly criticizing the Republican Party, and we can't let that stand. We can't allow that to happen, blah, 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 blah. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. And, if we cannot criticize, you know, first of all, we're not born Republicans. We're not changed to the Republican Party as conservatives or anything else for that matter. And to say that we cannot openly call the Republican Party or Republicans out for doing the wrong thing, that is absolutely anathema to what our form of government is about.
You know, absolutely. I mean, the system was set up to be as it is. You're supposed to have a voice. You're supposed to be able to call these folks out when they're not doing your will, representing you in the way that you want to be represented. And for a party, which is why the Republican Party is dying, and I have it on good authority, too, the Republican Party in Missouri is really hurting. So come election time again next year, they are not going to have any money. People are not giving money to the Republican Party out here.
Yeah. You know, but, Lisa, do you remember back 5 years ago, let's go back to 4 or 5 years ago when we first started into the Tea Party movement and so forth. Do you remember these supposedly really great conservative politicians who got involved in our groups and some of us made the mistake of giving them our microphones and so forth and so on? Okay, what was one of the things that they would say? You are to blame. You, the citizens, are to blame if your politicians aren't doing what you expect them to do because you're letting them get away with it and you're not calling them out on it. And yet those same politicians will stand up and they will stand silent when a Blaine Lukemeyer makes a statement that stupid at Lincoln Day's dinner and not call him out on that. And they will actually, and many of them probably just supported that statement. How dare anybody criticize a member of the Republican Party? Excuse me? Well, on the one hand, we were eviscerated back in 2008, 9, 10 because we didn't do our part as citizens. We accepted our responsibility for being not being engaged in our political system the way we need to be. I agree that we have not been and we need to be, but don't you dare sit there and tell me to sit down and shut up when I dare to criticize what you're doing because you're not doing the right thing.
You know, so here's another thing too, okay? So we have all of these Republicans who want us to shut up and go away, okay? They're doing not one damn thing to stop Obamacare. They're not doing one damn thing. I mean, you know, we are this close to losing the immigration fight here in this country. They're not doing one damn thing to get a handle on the budget. You know, we could go on all night. I mean, there's so many things that the Republicans are not doing to take care of business, you know, and every time you run a conservative candidate, you know, with the Ron Pauls and the Ted Cruzes and the Mike Lees, remember when Ted Cruz filibustered in the Senate and how he was just B-slapped for doing it, for breaking ranks with the Republican Party, but the people just loved it. And you know, and he was just put through the meat grinder, only to find out later that it was, I mean, really a stroke of genius, and he did a great thing. So, when you have this kind of thing going on in the conservative movement, if conservatives do not stand up and start fighting back against this, it's going to be like what they were saying about us again in 2008, 2009, 2010. You deserve what you get. But here's the deal. All of those folks in the Republican Party on a federal and on a state level in our state are doing nothing to derail the train. They're sitting on their hands waiting for the next election. They're blaming, like, I can tell you, I don't know how many times I've heard Tim Jones, the Speaker of the House here in Missouri, tell us, and he's, you know, he's the head of a Republican majority in the House, and we have a Republican majority in the Senate. They can't get anything done, and they're not going to get anything done this year either, and we have some incredible bills going through our legislature this year. It's not our fault. We don't have a Republican governor. You have to elect a Republican governor. Why in the hell would we elect a Republican governor when we don't have Republicans in the House and the Senate in Missouri who can pass right to work, who can Medicaid expansion, who can balance the budget, who can put some Common Core legislation through? Why would we do that?
That's a good question, Lisa. And why, you know, and why would we do that when we're looking at a Republican-held state legislature who has the power to override a governor's veto, who failed to do so during the last veto session, to override the governor's veto on some bills that needed to be pushed through and to make it into the law of the land? They didn't do it. They don't have the strength of their own convictions. They're a bunch of panty-wasted wee-wahs that can't get the job done. That's the bottom line. So why do we need another panty-waisted Republican in the governor's office so that you don't have to be accountable? So you don't have to be accountable because you believe in a law and you make sure that it gets passed with or without the governor? Really?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if they're going to take away my guns and pass Medicaid expansion, I'm damn sure not going to have a Republican in the office doing it. So,
absolutely.
You know, buck up or shut up. I am not going to support any of these jerks who do not. I mean, it is not that hard. It is not that hard, Cindy, to follow the guidelines of the conservative party. It's just not that hard. They're written down. It's not like you're a parent and you're feeling your way through it. You know, you have a guidebook. You can, you know, it's right there for you. They have a Republican Party platform. You know, in the Republican Party platform, it specifically outlines that they do not support Common Core. There are a number of really good Common Core bills that are going through the legislature this year. Last year, they managed to kill the only Common Core bill that we had at the very last minute, at the 11th hour before the session ended. And, you know, and they tried to tell us that it was a coincidence or an accident or, you know, baloney. And now they have a number of bills that are not going to go anywhere. We have some incredible legislation. We have some incredible 2A legislation going through. I was on a conference call last weekend talking to some folks, and it's going to die. And it's all about party politics. It's all about party politics.
Well,
these people don't want to make a stand. They don't want to make a statement, or they want to save it for the election year. They don't want to be outdone by the other guy that they're running against in the primary. It's just ridiculous.
And what's worse than that is we have politicians that are willing to get on the Common Core bandwagon now and to theoretically stand up to fight Common Core, where three years ago I seem to recall being told I was going to lose access because I dared to question that they weren't standing up against Common Core. Wow, now they're all on board with it. You want me to give you kudos for that? You know what? I'll give you kudos when you make sure that legislation gets passed. Then you'll get my kudos.
Well, you know, and that goes back to the Justina Pelletier case. You know, if they've got a handful of legislators in Massachusetts who are fighting for these people, well, where are the articles of impeachment being filed there against this judge who's allowing this to happen? You know, how hard are they really fighting it, or are they just riding the coattails of the publicity so that they can get reelected whenever their elections are up again?
That's
the
a
same
good question.
Here, we got a lot of. I don't know if you've been watching. I'm sure you have. The shuffling here in Missouri that goes on, I'm sure it goes on in states across the country, of people, of especially in the Republican Party, of the deals that are being made and who's going to run in what district for what seat until they can run for the next seat. And, I mean, the things that are going on here and the political posturing, I guess, is the best way to explain it. And
you know, it's worse than that. It's not just posturing. It's political brokering.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's political game playing, and it's political roulette, where you know, and if you're willing to play the game, sooner or later you're promised you're going to win somewhere,
right.
And you just have to be willing to bow out now, and you can have this then, and that is exactly what goes on. And if you think the Republicans aren't doing it, you're living in a fool's paradise. And the Democrats do it too. Yes, they do.
Yeah,
but the Republicans are just as guilty.
Yeah, and I think, and anymore, I kind of think they're working in concert. I think they're all working together. I no longer believe in two-party system. I think that they've pretty much, you know, if you can't pass Common Core legislation, you know, because, okay, effectively they, and you and I know differently, Cindy, but effectively most people think that the Common, or the Patriot Movement thinks that Common Core is coming out of the left. Well, I have proof that there are Republicans in Missouri who have been pushing this along for more than a decade, very quietly. So this, you know, and if you can't pass something like educational freedom, educational choice, as a Republican, there's no two-party system anymore. It's all one party, and they're all working together.
You're absolutely right. I mean, there's no – it is what it is, and it's sad – but it's true, and it makes it difficult for us to navigate to get anything done. I realize that, but we cannot continue to reward these people with blind support and to not be willing to call them out in public when they're wrong. And to be and you know what, Lisa? I expect them to be willing to take the consequences for standing up and doing the right thing. I've accepted the consequences when I stood up and did the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. You did.
Because
you
it was the right thing to do. And you know what? You don't want to listen to me. You don't want to hear me. You want me to lose access. Fine. But you know what? There's going to be someone else coming up behind me that's going to see you for what you are, and they're going to call you out.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to be right there cheering them on.
You know, it's. I mean, over the even in just a short period of time that you and I have been watching this together, we have seen some folks come and go. And we've seen, it's all about political careers. It doesn't have anything to do with people serving their time, serving the public, serving their community, serving their state. It's all about political careers. And anybody, and this is the sweetheart Tea Party darlings on a state and a national level, that is, those folks that are in it for the long haul, that are making a career out of it, I don't care how much you think that they are without tarnish. I'm telling you, if they're making a career out of politics, they are not without tarnish, folks. Every single last one of them, and you cannot be putting these people up on pedestals. Absolutely not.
Right, and you know, I firmly believe the longer people are left in that cesspool, the less likely they are to survive intact and to continue to stand and do the right thing. I think that right now, at this point in time, you know, I really like Ted Cruz. I think he's, you know, someone who is standing up and trying to do the right thing. But he needs to be ready and prepared to step down at the right time and to remove himself from that place. And I think anybody who serves as a public servant needs to do that, because it is not supposed to be a career.
Absolutely
not. It's a public service that you should be willing to do for, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, but you need to call it good at the end of the day. And you know something, I've had people say, well, but where are we going to get other good people to stand up? And well, so you're telling me there are no good people waiting in the wings to do it?
Yeah, you know.
That's insane. There are all kinds of good people who would make good citizen representatives to go and continue the fight.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
have these entrenched power brokers. No.
Well, okay, so here's an interesting thing. Okay, so I don't want to follow up. We had Lee Stranahan on a couple weeks ago too, and he was doing some background on the Tea Party, TeaParty.net, and the money that was going into that association and where they were funneling it out. We had a great interview with him, and I think that interview is probably, in my opinion, the biggest news story in the conservative movement ever. Because it shows, one, mostly what we have been talking about for a long time here on Culture Vigilante, about how you cannot follow blindly. You have to vet everything out carefully. You know, everybody is really looking for leadership here. You know, we're desperate for leadership. And a lot of PACs and movements have been formed. A lot of them have been formed by what he calls shadow establishment, to infiltrate the Tea Party and to get a hold on it, and they've been effective in strangling us and diminishing us. They've done a very good job. Well, he was uncovering that. And if you remember the interview, he said he was taking quite a bit of heat for doing it. He used to be a contributor for Breitbart Texas. And I say used to be because since our interview, they have let him go. Breitbart Texas has kicked him to the curb. Okay. Some things to think about here. Why wouldn't an association like Breitbart, you know, unless Lee Stranahan is absolutely crazy and he's putting out false information, which he's not because he backed everything up. It was all on open secrets. It's all information anybody can get. But unless he's giving...
He had the smoking guns.
Exactly. Why would someone like Breitbart kick him to the curb?
Because people are so afraid of tarnishing the Republicans in an election year, Lisa, that they are willing to bastardize and prostitute themselves to get Republicans elected, regardless of whether they're going to be good for us or not.
Yeah, but the Breitbart organization was never
That tells you right there, Lisa, how entrenched people are in the mentality that it has to be a Republican or a Democrat. And that
unless
we
they've been
be
infiltrated.
To expose the truth.
Unless
no,
they've been infiltrated. Yeah, I mean, I have
no
proof of that, obviously. That's purely speculation on my part. But I've seen it happen. Go ahead.
I hear so many people, conservatives that I respect, that fall into down this rabbit hole that say, well, but we can't be, you know, we've got to give it time. The Republican Party is all we have, and we've just got to run with it. And, you know, and I understand what they're saying, but if they would take one step back from where they're standing and really look at the whole picture, take it to the wall, that is not a winning strategy. We've been doing that for 30, 40, 50 years. Where has it gotten us? Where are we today?
Yeah, we're on the precipice of losing the
Constitution. I was being told that 30 years ago when things weren't as bad as they are now, and I can stand here right now and tell you that was not a winning strategy. We are no better off today. We're far worse off because we have employed that kind of political game playing. It doesn't work. It will not win the battles that need to be won. It is not going to save our republic. It is not going to right what is wrong.
Right. And the John Boehners and the Blaine Lutkemeyers and the Lindsey Grahams can all take a flying leap as far as I'm concerned, because they are not trying to do what's best for the country. And I will not, even if it means that a Democrat will take their spot, I will not support that anymore. I am done. I voted for McCain. I voted for Romney. I voted on a local level for people who I do not believe are conservative the way they should be to represent my values. And I will no longer do that. I will give it up because I don't believe there's a difference anymore. I don't believe there's a difference in the Democrats and the Republicans. I don't think it makes a difference to me to have a Republican in office.
I'll tell you something, Lisa. At the end of the day, we have our own reputations, our own name, and how we have lived our lives and whether or not we've made a good name for ourselves. Another thing that we have is as a citizen of the country, of our nation, the one thing that each and every one of us is entrusted with and that we should be holding an equal as equals in this regard is our vote. If I walk into a voting booth and I prostitute myself by electing the lesser of two evils, have I really done the right thing? Have I really stood up for the principles that I believe in? I contend that I have not. I have been willing to prostitute myself just for a win.
Yep, no more.
In the
no
hope
more.
That maybe somehow this person who is the lesser of two evils, but still evil nonetheless, that I'm going to be able to somehow coerce them into doing the right thing? No, it doesn't work that way.
It's all over. It's all over as far as I'm concerned.
I've thrown my vote away, and I've made it a useful commodity in the world of politics. That's not what my vote is about. My vote is a sacred trust.
Absolutely.
That's how I do it. That's just my opinion.
You know, I mean, that's what we heard. Yeah, we heard that from the Republican Party when the Tea Party was really when they really hit their stride. They really, you know, play with us, work with us. Mm-hmm. We'll work, you know, we'll take care of you. And they're not taking care of us. They're not taking care of us. I don't know how many times the debt ceiling has been extended since they told us that they would take care of us and they would work with us if we would just support them in this next election. And they're not doing it. I'm done. And it's so critical now for them to gain control of the Senate. Everybody's got their eye on the ball. They want to gain control of the Senate. I'm telling you, I'm not doing it. My senators.
Go ahead.
Oh, my senator's Roy Blunt, and you know I have watched him ebb and flow, in and out of conservative values. I've watched campaign contributions go in and out of his coffers, and I'm telling you, he will not get my support next time around. It'll be way past the 16 election before he's up again, but. I've watched the Republican Party intentionally sabotage good conservative candidates, good voting conservatives, because they were not aligned with the establishment philosophy and establishment principles. I will not support that party anymore.
Uh-uh. Nope. And I'll tell you something too. When people accept the crumbs thrown from the table. To support their political, or their conservative stance, be it social or wherever your conservatism leads you, and you get a few crumbs thrown to you. The fact is that I've watched the Roy Blunts of the political world, really wreak havoc and destruction on our republic by their votes when they decide to turn coat and vote the wrong way. Their attaboys don't even come close to undoing the damage that they've done.
Yep, it's going to be a long healing process
with
to get
their
past
progressive votes.
Yep,
because they have contributed to taking us where we are today.
Absolutely, I'm chatting online with Thinking Conservatively. You can join us on chat while you listen to us on Culture Vigilante. And they make a great point. Okay, so we're complaining about this. We've totally pulled the plug on our support on these establishment Republicans. So what's the alternative? And it's a great point. So here's what you do, folks. And we've talked about this time and time again on Culture Vigilante. If we can assemble 10 and 20,000 people at a Tea Party rally, we can certainly unite to expand our patriot bubble. For the last 4 or 5 years, we've all been running around in circles, talking to ourselves, educating ourselves on the issues, you know, and we've done a pretty good job. I mean, I think we have a pretty solid conservative, constitutional conservative base, but it's very small in comparison to what you really need to do to be able to make the difference to bring it back. So here's, you know, if people are really serious about taking back the country, you have to expand your conservative bubble. You've got to break outside your comfort zone and start talking to people and giving them information about what's really going on, because this is something else I really wanted to talk about this evening. In the last couple of weeks, every once in a while this kind of hits me in the face and gives me a reality check of the world that I'm living in. You and I, Cindy, and the groups that we run in are pretty much entrenched. We are political junkies. That's what we do in our spare time. We read the internet, we watch the news, we, you know, blog, we do all this, you know, and we are conservative political junkies. The rest of the world is not. I posted, you know, I'm supporting some candidates for my local school board here. This is how I'm trying to, you know, stretch out of my circle a little bit. You know, school boards generally are not partisan, but they kind of are, because school boards are really run by teachers' unions, which are very left, and it's all about the money. Again, follow the money. But anyway, I'm trying to reach out to my community who doesn't have a clue about who I am or what I do here in my spare time. There are a few people in the neighborhood who know. I mean, they see my political signs, and a couple of them know I do radio. But most of the folks don't really know how deeply entrenched I am. So I posted some things about our local school board candidates on our neighborhood Facebook page, and I got absolutely no response. But the people that are posting about the Tupperware party, or the people that are posting about the Easter egg hunt, or all of these other things, you know, they're chatting it up. But if you're posting something about, you know, come to a Meet the Candidates meeting in the neighborhood, get to know the people who are running for your school board, ask them some questions, find out if, you know, because we have some issues here in my school district, you know, it's a growing school district and it's all about money, and the teachers union is, you know, cutting recesses and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's some issues going on, and getting people to think, you know, to maybe take an hour out of their weekend or something, you know, it's crickets. Another issue that we have going on here, I mean, we have red light cameras. People hate red light cameras. I don't know anybody who doesn't hate red light cameras. If you get a ticket from a red light camera, it's not a partisan issue. I put something again. Nobody wants to read an article about red light cameras or to find out what can be done to get rid of red light cameras or support legislation that stops red light cameras. You know, they all want to talk about the Tupperware party. You know, they want to talk about all of these other things, but they don't want to talk about, you know, we've got to change that. We've got to absolutely change that. We've got to start reaching outside our bubble and start bringing those folks back into reality, because when the train absolutely does fall off the tracks, and it will, because we've got Obamacare that's not been fully implemented yet, the jobless rate is huge. You know, when they expand Medicare here in Missouri, I mean, it's all going to be huge. And we're already, you know, we're already taxed to death. And more people are going to lose their jobs, and it's going to be very painful. You know, if you didn't do your part, I mean, it's going to be and by then it's going to be too late. It's going to be absolutely too late. Kind of like it's already too late to stop Common Core in Missouri because they've already implemented it, and the legislature's not going to buck the system to get rid of it. It's just not, they're just not going to do it. Unless there's a huge outcry from the constituency, and it's really those disengaged voters that our legislature caters to. They don't care about the Patriots. They play lip service to us when we show up at the Capitol, you know, or when they come and talk to us at a Pachyderm meeting or a Lincoln Days or a committee meeting or whatever. They pay lip service to us, but they really, the people that they market to when they campaign, it's my neighbor across the street with three kids who doesn't have time to, you know, doesn't have time to go to a committee meeting or a school board meeting or whatever. Folks, you've got to take the time. That's exactly what it is. You've got to take the time to reach outside your bubble. Go ahead.
Right. Be willing to talk to people. Be willing to bring it up. Be willing to be laughed at. Be willing to be rejected. You know, and you know, when it comes to our sphere of influence, it's not just about family or our neighbors. That's part of it. But it's the people that we come into contact with every day.
Yeah.
You know, we do have a tremendous opportunity through our social networking endeavors to put things out there. And, you know, I'm by no means shaking any ground here, but I've reached people that I didn't have another way to reach, like through Facebook. That
right.
I'm amazed at the conversations that we've engaged in, and their changing viewpoint as a result. So, you know, don't ever underestimate what will happen if you're just willing to open your mouth and speak up and talk about it. And you don't have to be confrontational. There mm-hmm. are, I mean, building this house, one example would be we've had a plethora of workmen and people coming to this house. And it is amazing how just being friendly and engaging in light conversation leads to things. And you would be amazed at how many people share your concerns. They may not be as politically involved, active, or thinking as you are, but it doesn't make them any less concerned about what they see happening. People are more aware of what's happening than you think. They may be less aware of the politics and what to do about it and how to get involved than some of us are. But it doesn't change the fact, Lisa, that people are really concerned.
You know, and that's very true. And I don't think they know where to go to get support for their concerns, because they're not engaged in the grassroots community. I think something that would be very effective for folks to do, I mean, if you see, and sometimes you kind of have to approach people with soft issues. You know, if you hit them with something, you know, if you go hit them with a preparedness manual and tell them that they've got to stockpile their ammo and their food,
right.
You know, they may go off running. But, you know, if you hit them with something soft like red light cameras, and, you know, if you're canvassing your neighborhood for a political candidate anyway, print off an article, a one-page article off of your printer, and while you're canvassing your neighborhood for whatever the political issues is that you're canvassing, stick a flyer in their door about something else as well. And right. You know, or give them a flyer about an organization in your community where they can go to get more information. You know,
mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be confrontational. You don't even have to speak to them about it. But if you start reaching out in those kinds of ways, taking a little bit of time and a little bit of effort to just leave something on somebody's doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would just start to grow that circle. If you brought one person in that wasn't in before, they would start talking about it to somebody else, and it would grow exponentially.
Right. And what about the people in your church? Are you afraid to bring it up in church? There are so many ways to engage the people in the community. The community you live in is everything. It's your church, it's your family, it's your friends, it's your neighbors. It's the person at the grocery store. It's whoever you engage with that you can engage in a conversation. And it is amazing how hungry people are to be able to express their concern for what's happening, for somebody to just listen to them for a minute.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's been my experience. And having moved into a brand new, community, I'm simply amazed at how much that's true, Lisa, that people are hungry to have someone to just listen to their concerns, to know that they're not alone, that we are all in this together. And it's really been kind of it's been a real eye-opener. In that regard, that we have far more ability to reach people than we realize if we're just willing to step up and speak up and engage people in conversation.
We have a caller
on
the line.
I think
we have a caller on the line. Let's see. They're talking to me on chat. They have something to say. Let's see what they have to say.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi. Sorry
Can
about
you hear
that,
me?
Caller. Yes, I can hear
oh, that's
you.
Okay. Yeah, I've been listening to you for some time now, and I guess my question is, to start off, who are you reaching out to? I know for a fact that between Missouri and Kansas, there's a large number of people who would very much love to be a part of a grassroots initiative, but they have absolutely no one to reach out to. I used to live in Missouri. I am now in Kansas on the other side, and I guess I'm trying to get an idea of exactly who you're trying to talk to.
Well, you know, we just kind of discussed that, caller. I think that is an excellent point, and we understand that there are folks out there kind of stumbling around blindly, not really knowing where to go for support for their ideas and to kind of get that fellowship to kind of join the fray. We have many, 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 and I know Kansas does too, but in Missouri, we have many groups across the state who are constitutional conservative. Tea Party, 912, whatever kind of groups that you want, they're all over the state. And Missouri Grassroots Coalition is kind of an umbrella organization for many of those groups. We have a Facebook page that you can log on to and find all those groups. We have a website that you can log on to and find that kind of conservative fellowship. I think that anybody, I mean, Well, I don't want to say that. I think that it is possible for folks to find groups that want to find groups. We're talking about those mm-hmm. folks who are so engaged in raising their families or trying to make a career, or they're working, or they just don't, you know, they don't make the time to follow the news. They don't make the time to really be politically, you know, politically engaged. And they vote based on the 30-second soundbite the night before the election that they see.
I guess my next question then would be that for all these groups that you're talking about, I don't see any of them here. Okay, so who are they?
Here where?
I don't here on your show. I mean, I see two Missouri grassroots, and I see myself.
In the chat, you don't see anybody in the chat.
Who are these people? Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Okay. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and uh-huh. you can get information there. We also have a Facebook page, and you can get information there. There are people all over Facebook. There are people all over Twitter. Anybody, if you Google Tea Party organizations, it's not hard to find folks if you really want to find them. They're everywhere. And do you live in Kansas now?
Yeah, I live in Kansas now, and I am a part of a few groups, that, and we are doing things. I guess what I'm saying is that I am interested in what you're doing, but I'm not seeing a following. So I guess I'm wondering, where are you? We don't see you.
We're okay? in Missouri.
We are actually a part of groups that are trying to educate, because we recognize that between Missouri and Kansas, there is a growing number of conservative people or constitutionalists, which is how I refer to myself more often. But there are a growing number of these people here who are trying to become a part of the conservative constitutionalist party who are lost because,
absolutely.
You know, they are embracing the title, they are embracing the identification, but they have absolutely no clue of what it means to be a conservative. They have no clue of what it means to be a constitutionalist. They're falling in love with the idea, but when you get a bunch of people who are making that exodus from liberalism to conservatism, we're finding that most of them really don't know what that means. And And so what we're trying to do is create a place where, instead of talking so much about issues, we are trying to re-educate them. We're trying to teach them that conservatism is more than an ID, that a badge that you put on your shoulder when you walk through the door.
Absolutely. Excellent work. Well, I'll tell you what.
Okay.
Why don't you send me an email to culturevigilante@me.com, and mm-hmm. we'll try to hook up and see how we can
unite
our efforts.
I think that would be a great idea, because I think that that is what the issue is right now. Yes, we have issues with our politicians who are not, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, they don't seem to be giving a damn. They don't seem to be acknowledging the Declaration of Independence. They don't seem to be acknowledging the bylaws within the U.S. Constitution that says that they are supposed to be a reflection of our values and not vice versa.
Absolutely. And okay. those are the folks that you are absolutely right. Those are the folks that we need to reach out to and bring them into the Patriot bubble, because they don't
absolutely.
Know where to go. They don't know where to go for support. They don't understand basically everything that's going on, because they have not spent the last 4 years attached to a computer screen reading all the blogs. Or attached to
even further back than that, I have to be honest. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not chastising you. I recognize what you're doing. But hear me when I say it goes further back than 4 years, okay?
Oh,
we are talking about people who have been operating on automatic. And if you sit there and you ask them, what is in the Declaration of Independence?
Oh, for
sure. They will look at you and they won't know.
Because of the destruction of the educational system over decades and generations.
Exactly.
Exactly, right.
You know, Lisa, I just want to say something right quick. The caller is correct. But I also want to say that Lisa and I have both been very active in groups that have been educating people, and that was the focus of Show Me Patriots for several years. Most of the people involved with that group have gone on to be involved in other areas. They've taken what they've learned and they've moved on, and they're doing some great things. And so there is a need for that. But there's also a need to be careful of what groups we plug people into, because as Lisa and I have talked about on the show, some of the Tea Party conservative groups really have been infiltrated by politicians. And and so you have to be careful, because if you're not careful, then those politicians are just going to co-opt them and use them and turn them around and make them, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? And
absolutely.
Part of the focus of the radio show is to bring that and other things to people's attention. We are not the education part of it with the radio show that you're talking about. Ours is just to engage and to some extent talking to the people who are already somewhat awake. And
okay,
a lot of our following is through podcasts. But
yeah, and even those folks are not as awake as we would like them to be.
Right.
Some of those
you.
Folks.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's my point, Lisa.
And you're so right. This didn't just start 4 years ago. We use that as a reference point because it's the reference point that most people right now can relate to that haven't been involved longer than that. And so they can relate to it from the point 4 or 5 years ago when the Tea Party started and the fight that we've been in since then. And that's why that frame of reference is used. I've been in this fight for 30 years. And
well, let me put it to you this way. Let me explain something to you about who I am, okay? Because I have been watching in the last 2 weeks, and I'm not even from this area. I've only been living here for about – I've been living in the Midwest for about 6 years. And just in the last week and a half, I came into the I found myself in a situation where in Chicago, Illinois, for instance, they turned around and created last year this idea called the American Idol of politics. Now,
mm-hmm.
now consider this. And this
we have
is
a
on
few
the
of those
web.
In Missouri.
I'm sorry?
We have a few of those
I'm
in
sorry?
Missouri. We have a few of those American Idols.
Well, this
Idols
has been
Missouri.
Amazing. This actually wound up on TV and everything. They could not find political candidates within the Republican Party. So they came up with this idea called the American Idol of GOP. Okay? Check it out. Hit your search engines. If you're on if you're doing radio and you're not in front of a computer all the time, you're missing out. So
yeah.
They came up with this idea of American Idol GOP. And what they did was they reached out and they said, if you're a Republican or a conservative and you want to get involved with politics, call this number. And they gave out these applications to these people who called in. And of all these people that called in, they picked 18 people. And they said, we picked these 18 people who seem to be conservative based on how they filled out this application. This took place last year. Well, guess what? They had last night the primary, and of those 18 people through American Idol, they had settled in one particular district, two people of which they picked one. The other person was black, a black female, and the other one was a white male. Both of them were adults. Okay? The black female had no clue of what a conservative was.
Yeah,
no.
Well, I mean, think about that, how that works. They're hand-picking, they're cherry-picking – their future farm team. And they're molding them and shaping them into being. So that how's that going to work for the American folks? Not very well.
Exactly.
They're just creating an establishment farm team. That's all there is to it. Well, caller, thank you very much for calling in. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about a few national issues, and then we're going to wrap it up.
It really is time for the people of America to take up pitchforks.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for grass fire alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
We're back. This is Lisa Payne Nager. You're listening to Culture Vigilante. I'm sitting here with Cindy McGee, actually halfway across the state. Thanks for joining us here. We're here on Wednesday evenings every night through the magic of the internet radio, so it makes it so easy for us to do that. We've been talking about current events in Missouri and beyond, and you can't turn on a radio or listen to the news without having heard about the airplane that we haven't talked about that here on Culture Vigilante yet. Let's kind of put our two cents worth in. My first general thought about this whole thing is the United States government has been working in concert on both sides of the line to pull the wool over the eyes of the American people. They've been telling us all kinds of crap for the longest time, and folks are buying it. I mean, they can lie to us about anything, and people just blindly follow. They get it. You know, they totally believe it. And now I think they're doing it on a worldwide scale now. A jet airliner can just disappear off the face of the earth, and there's not one country on the face of the earth. You're going to tell me that a country that can monitor phone calls and emails of everybody in the United States is not looking at everything that's airborne and doesn't know when and where it is at every minute of the day? I'm thinking that's not working out so well for me. I'm not buying that one. And they can't find this plane? Really?
Well, totally. You know, and the truth of the matter is, Lisa, is that we now know 10 days later that they were able to know that airplane was still up there for at least 7 more hours after it supposedly disappeared, and that there were government agencies and this has been brought up in a lot of ways, and our son is a pilot, and you know they have these things that ping these aircraft, and when you're flying around, unless you know to avoid them, it's going to ping on your aircraft. And apparently this aircraft, that whoever was flying this plane, the pilot of this plane, was doing a pretty good job of avoiding those spots that normally would be in the jetway that you would fly through, that they would be able to see you even if you weren't responding or pinging back.
Yeah, this just wasn't a random hijacking of some crazy, jihadist. These people knew what the heck they were doing.
And there is a reason behind this. This in and of itself was not a terrorist attack. I'm not going to say that it won't lead to one.
Yeah.
But there was a reason behind this.
Because now they have a plane.
And
oh, for
you need
sure.
to look at You know, and Glenn talked about this on his show yesterday and brought out something that hasn't been brought out, that there was a group of people on that airplane. There were 10 or 12 of them who are – their expertise is in the technologies used to cloak aircraft. Did you know that? So, you know, and I've been asking ever since the plane disappeared 10 days ago and it became apparent that it didn't just crash, that somebody had taken the plane – I kept looking at my husband and saying, what or who was on that airplane? Somebody wanted something, and it was on that plane. And where this ends, we don't know yet. But the bottom line is there is a lot more to this than we're being told, and it begs another question, Lisa.
Yeah.
Why is the world media, and especially the free press of the United States, completely ignoring this story and not really vetting it out? I mean, there are people that have found some of the facts that needed to be found. And, you know, it's been a bit late, but the mainstream media is not on.
Red flags everywhere. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are red flags all over this place. You know, and one of the first questions that the media should have been asking is, how come you can spy on Americans and you can't figure out where the plane is? Really? Really? Come on. And,
yeah.
And this happens to coincide with everything that's going on in Russia right now. I don't know. That makes me a little nervous.
Yeah. It's very interesting, and there are a lot of things that play on in this particular thing, and there were also some there was at least one person who belongs to a very seriously problematic terrorist group that is in China that would like to see the Chinese government overthrown so that they can take over. It's a Muslim group. And one of the passengers on board that plane belonged to this radical group in China. So there's a lot more to this story than meets the eye. And I'm not sitting here pretending to have all the answers. I have a lot of questions. I'd like to know why the mainstream media is not asking these questions. They have a lot more resources to get to the bottom of it than I do.
Well, I think one thing is for sure. In 2012, a jet airliner does not fall off the face of the earth and not leave a trace. Somebody knows where it is.
Right.
Somebody knows where it is in a high.
Somebody knows. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think our government
knows where it is.
Right. And I think this is going to rear its ugly head, and it's
not going to be pretty.
No, it's not. I think we will eventually find out what is behind this, but
in a bad way.
Exactly. That's what I'm afraid of. So,
do you remember hearing last week, Cindy, about this Air Force Academy kid who was challenged over a Bible verse that he wrote on the whiteboard of his dorm room door?
I did not hear about that.
Okay, the New American sent something out today. I just kind of wanted to touch on this because this is, you know, this is more of the culture that just is killing me. So. The Air Force Academy has once again found itself in the spotlight over attempts to prevent its cadets from expressing their religious faith. The conservative news service reported that officials at the academy removed a Bible verse that had been placed on a residence whiteboard by a cadet after the atheist group Military Religious Freedom Foundation claimed that other cadets had complained that they were offended by the scripture. Okay. You can see where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
While the whiteboard has been designated by the Academy for both personal and official use, Air Force Academy officials bowed to the pressure from the atheist organization's founder, Mickey Weinstein, who appointed himself spokesman for the supposed group of the 29 cadets whom Weinstein claimed were offended by the presence of the Galatians 2:20 on the whiteboard. Scripture placed there by an unnamed cadet read, "I have been crucified with Christ. I am no longer alive, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Okay, that's really offensive. Weinstein insisted to Fox News that the Christian cadet displayed the scripture in his room. Not a problem. It's not about the belief. It's about the time, the place, and the manner. Again, really offensive. Making a case for his intrusion to the Academy's business, Weinstein claimed to Fox's Todd Starnes that the venue turned the otherwise orderly Academy into a hostile environment. It clearly elevated one religious faith over all the others at an already virulently hyper-fundamentalist Christian institution. Well, Mr. Weinstein, you don't sound like a Christian to me, but if you knew that they were Christian when you applied to go there. It massively poured fundamentalist Christian gasoline on an already raging out-of-control configuration of fundamentalist Christian tyranny, exceptionalism, and supremacy at the U.S. Air Force Academy? Excuse me? Oh, my God. I think you should be expelled. Weinstein has targeted the Air Force Academy in the past, of course, you know, it's not his first offense, over issues of religious expression by service members. Last October, he complained about the presence of the phrase, "So help me God," in the honor oath taken out by the incoming freshman cadets at the Academy. The next month, the Academy Superintendent, Lieutenant General Michelle Johnson, revealed to enraged congressmen that she had indeed caved in to the pressure from the atheist complaints and dropped the phrase, "Okay." What in the heck is going on at the Air Force Academy? This is the Air Force Academy, okay? Where are the guts of the leadership at this academy to squash this little worm Weinstein and tell him to get back in line and to shut the heck up? Nobody's keeping him from, I mean, being an atheist or anybody else.
Nobody's trying to preempt his right to free speech. He's entitled to his opinion. He's entitled to disagree with what was written. But I don't think he's entitled to usurp the free speech of another cadet.
Exactly. And this is the Air Force Academy, for God's sake. Where is the discipline
right
here?
And you know what, Lisa? I will say this, being so closely tied to the military, that there is a time and a place in the military because of the need for discipline and unity and working together and so forth and the jobs that they're sent out to do and the teamwork that has to be there can be an inappropriate time to share something like that.
Sure.
But this was not it. And this is just simply about the attempt to purge, by one individual, to purge the entire Air Force Academy of any reference to Christian belief. And that is absolutely wrong. How far would he have gotten if he was doing this towards a Muslim who had written things from the Quran on the board? Just as an example, he wouldn't have gotten anywhere. And, you know, so it's outrageous. And I agree with you. Where is the discipline? Why isn't this kid being told, look, you can agree to disagree. You can be upset about this, but sit down and shut up. You know?
Exactly. You know, I mean, it's not as if this kid is wearing a sign on his back, you know, or carrying a flag or a banner or preaching in the square. You know, it's on his whiteboard on his dorm room door. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm just appalled that the Air Force Academy has done the way they've handled this situation.
Which had been designated by the Air Force Academy for both official and personal use.
Exactly.
Where's the breakdown there? There isn't one, and the fact that they have codified this little worm's efforts to suppress the freedom of expression and speech of this other student is outrageous.
Yeah, if the other student is not breaking the rules, if he's minding his own business, you know, I just, it's egregious. It's egregious.
Yeah. What it does tell you, though, Lisa, is how far we have fallen down the hole of political correctness and that we have gone so far down this rabbit hole that this is the end product. This is where it leads. The one who, you know, somebody can raise a strong enough case, they can shut you up and shut you down. We've abandoned common sense at the door.
Well, we've abandoned, obviously, you know, when I was a kid, I went to Colorado and I visited the Air Force Academy. It was just awe-inspiring, you know, because it was just, you know, all the cadets there were polished, disciplined. I mean, you know, you've got to have your act together to get into the Air Force Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, it just tarnishes it. It absolutely tarnishes it. It makes it a weaker establishment other than, you know, what you, I mean, it totally takes the legs out of the United States military. You're chopping the legs off underneath the United States military. Makes me sick.
Right.
The fact that these folks can't stand up to stuff. Something like that is
absolutely
so small. They can't stand up to a little tiny issue like that on their campus.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me just sick.
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. And it does make you question, where's the leadership at this academy that they're kowtowing to this kind of tactic. It's really sad.
Absolutely.
But then look at who the commander-in-chief is.
So. Yeah, that's, you know, that brings up another question, the commander-in-chief and all the stuff that's going on in Russia now, with all of the finger-wagging that Joe Biden is doing at the Russians and all the warnings that they're issuing against the Russians, you know, for invading Crimea and taking over the Ukraine. I don't know where they think that they – I mean, I don't know how they don't feel completely stupid. We have no military left. What are they going to do? I mean, Vladimir is over there just rolling on the floor laughing at little Barack, who's just kind of, you know, shaking his finger at the Russian government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got nothing to back it up with.
Well, and he's not even engaging in – no, he's not even engaging in an adequate – military intervention is not the answer here, but the there are answers. There are things that we could do if we had the strength to stand up and do it. And there was a time when we had leadership in our nation that would have pulled together a coalition to impose sanctions that would have mattered to Russia. And
exactly.
that coalition would have represented a strong enough force that Russia would think twice before doing what they're doing. And I love what they, from a man who lives just outside of Kiev, he works as a translator and he's a historian, and he was beaten up a couple of weeks ago during the protests by riot police. And, you know, he said, you know, the U.S. could take steps to really cut Putin off, but it seems your government does not want any risk at all. This will cause huge losses in the future. And the thing that he said that really stuck with me was, we will know, and all the world will know, what your word is. And people are ignoring and forgetting and not addressing the fact that the United States, back in 1994, we entered into a memorandum of security assurances with the Ukraine, assuring them that we would respect their sovereign borders in return for them giving up their nuclear weapons, and that we would stand by them. And we're not doing it. We're not imposing sanctions, real sanctions that would matter to Russia.
Oh, no.
We're just letting them walk right in and walk all over these people. The last time we did that, it didn't really work out real well, and we really, in the end, did not avoid the thing that we thought we feared the most, which was a world war.
Right. Well,
you cannot ignore a dictator.
Yeah,
like
what
that.
In this administration have you seen anything being held up? Every line in the sand has been blown away by the windbag Barack Obama. He's not backed up anything that he has expounded on or espoused to do. You know, he's a blowhard, and the entire world knows it, and we're being made fools of because Barack Obama has absolutely no concept of strength, peace through strength.
Yes.
And that's the only thing that these foreign dictators understand. You know, Ronald
absolutely.
Reagan must be turning over in his grave.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It's outrageous. And, you know, this whole idea that Crimea doesn't really wants Russia to come in and protect them and everything, that's not necessarily true. And, you know, if you go back in history with this region, under Joseph Stalin, he starved more than 7.5 million Eastern Ukrainians in the early 1930s. And then he deported millions more to Siberia and repopulated their villages with ethnic Russians. And Western pundits ignore the fact that Ukraine's eastern provinces also voted resoundingly for Ukraine independence in 1991. Now, they didn't vote by the 92% margins of some of the Western Ukrainian regions, but, and he brought up the point, since when does 60% not qualify as a clear majority? And since when does ethnic cleansing and armed coercion give an invader a superior claim to the express will of the local people?
Yeah.
And that's what's happening right now.
Who couldn't have predicted that outcome anyway?
Right. And the thing is that Putin isn't going to stop with the Ukraine.
Nope.
He's going to own all of the Ukraine very shortly.
Yeah.
And then he's going to move on to something else. And I saw a troubling story today in relation to this, that Syria is going to be on his hit list.
Huh.
Don't know if that's true or not, but the case that was made with Syria was compelling. And so, you know, Putin isn't going to stop here any more than, you know, and some of the very same arguments that are being made by Russia right now for what they're doing. Just a little history refresher. In the 1930s, Hitler drove us to World War II, and he did it by methodical acquisition of the land of other nations while claiming that the lands, although sovereign, in reality belonged to his Nazi Germany. An example of that would be the Sudetenland, when Hitler argued wanted to be part of Germany, and that his decision to invade the nation was driven largely by their calls for takeover and for Hitler's desire to protect them. Huh, that sounds vaguely familiar in this, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And the West, led by France and England, appeased Hitler by ignoring what he was doing. And then today you've got Russia using exactly the same arguments for taking over Crimea and moving in to take over more and more of the Ukraine. This doesn't end well if we just sit back with a pacifist, isolationist attitude. It didn't work for us in the 1930s, and it won't work for us today. I am not advocating a military action here, but we have other things that we could do. And if we hadn't shot ourselves in the foot with all of our allies, we might have a lot more options available to us.
I don't know. It's not a pretty picture. I don't know how it's going to end.
President's put us in a really bad situation. I don't know if that's where you wanted to go with this, but I just...
No, that's fine.
It's mind-boggling to me, Lisa. It's frightening to see the parallels that can't be ignored. History is a tremendous teacher, and if we fail to learn the lesson, we're going to repeat it.
Well, when you elect a president by an electorate who has had absolutely no background in history or civics for the last many generations, that's what you get. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and we'll wrap it up.
Okey-doke. You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
our leadership abroad are inextricably linked. Our friends and allies must again be able to trust us. From Israel to Colombia, from Poland to the Philippines, our allies and friends have to know that we will be reliable and consistent and determined. And our foes can have no reason to doubt our resolve, because peace really does come through strength.
Just when you thought it was all over, when you thought it was time to hang it all up, Lisa is back.
We're back. We're wrapping it up. Cindy and I were only going to come on for an hour tonight because I have a cold. And we didn't know what we, you know, we always do this. We don't know what we're going to talk about for 2 hours, but we always end up stretching it for the 2 hours and never really getting to the end of it. So we did it again tonight. We're really glad that you were able to join us. If you have an opportunity to go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, we would really appreciate you checking us out there. Join our organization. It's like we talked about earlier in the program. We need to grow the umbrella, grow the folks under the tent, expand the Patriot bubble, reach outside our comfort zone and bring people in who are not as engaged, and start to help educate folks. And you can do it through MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Our network is set up there to help you network better and find resources to, expand your viewpoints outside the Patriot bubble. Cindy, thanks for being with me tonight. I really appreciate you kind of driving the bus tonight, since my head is like a fog again from being sick.
Thank you for having me, and next week I'll tell everybody what I really think.
Absolutely, because we don't pull punches here, and we shouldn't, people need to know what's going on. Make sure that you join Dave Court on Friday and Saturday evenings. He's, you know, Dave and I kind of, we're at loggerheads over this Article 5 thing. Dave's for it, I'm against it, but that's nothing new. Dave and I are always beating each other up over stuff. Cynthia Davis. Former State Rep Cynthia Davis has a program on Tuesday evenings from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join her. She's always got a great lineup of guests. And you can find us here again on Wednesday evening right here on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Good night.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.